Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, crazies and simpletons, I challenge you to challenge yourself and question whether or not we all need help. I don't believe in love, but the thought of all of you releases uncontrollable endorphins in my brain. And so the mental picture of the audience is what I have within my frame. Now, maybe you're listening live and you want to get involved. It's 310-982-4273 to get through. Now, my little jelly beans, did you really think you wouldn't need to take another trip to the barbershop to trim that afro, to edge that hairline? And don't forget to kick the conversation. You've got me, Father Teresa, here stepping out of my wine cellar and putting down my fancy shining chalice to crack open another beer with Alfred and hoping our guest Y. Jarrell can get in. And this guy, he's an educator. And I'm not smart, so that could really help. I'm not the brightest guy, all right? And this, of course, is brought to you by Black Freethinkers. And this particular episode was directly inspired by the boss, Kim. Now, this one, we're going to be going into a bit of a mob mentality, groupthink, social conformity. And we're aware of tribalism, so let's act like it. And after listening to the last Mario Emmeline show, I don't think I'm saying her name right, folks, but this may be my less eloquent, my less educated take on the subject and a bit of an extension, but we do also have Alfred and Kim to balance that out, and we're also going to talk about a little fear of black people talking to each other, from 16th century Protestants to the Southern strategy of the modern-day Republican Party, and then earlier, Kim inadvertently gave me a new title for a segment of the show. And we were calling it Open Floor, but I appreciate keeping it hardcore and calling it some whole other bullshit. Going to be doing Overrated, Underrated again, because I like that and I want to bring it back. And I want to talk about a little bit of careful wording and specific wording to help communicate clearly and without confusion. And with this one, I want to try to use a specific wording to give my thoughts on a Lil Wayne and Emmett Till situation that's going on. And Alfred, a.k.a. Drag, he'll be lacing us up on graphics being overrated in games and Minecraft, for example. This somehow I'd like to sit back and learn a bit on this. And speaking of Alfred as if he isn't digitally in the room right now, Alfred's YouTube page is Drag Not Silvis, and that's spelled D-R-A-G-N-A-U-C-T. S-Y-L-V-A-S, two different words there, drag not Silvis. That's C, that's a silent one there. That's where I kept looking at it thinking, that's drag nuffed? What is that? I don't know. But drag not Silvis, and he's really M-effing smart. You can ask this guy anything, and he'll take you right into the advanced class without making it too complicated and letting it confuse the viewer or the listener. And I'm telling you, if a small-town dipshit like me can understand what piety is after the way he explains it, anybody can. And if you haven't already heard the last Reason, Science, and Skepticism show with Rainer and Kim, dig into the archives and play that while you're working in your garden that I assume you have and work in. And that episode, it's a wealth of information, and you get to hear Kim shut down a very condescending male caller that was trolling the show. It's fantastic, people. And my show, Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, I have the latest news show archived, and this Wednesday I'm going to air another news show that's going to be titled If Jesus Would Get Out of the Way. Going to be sharing my ideas on progressive, Kinsey scale-based sex education and homophobia, and how this could help get homophobia out of the new generation before we mess up another group of kids, all right? Now, do we have Alfred on the line?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep, how you doing there? Yeah, I tell you what, folks. Now, this is why whenever I type in the word friend in the social networking world, I always put quotations around. I feel like I'm a pretty shitty friend. I barely talk to Alfred unless we're doing the shows. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Hey, you talk to me just enough, probably more than some of my own family members, then, but what you have to say is actually pretty enlightening, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah, you're doing well. I know you're parenting over there. You're making it happen.
Oh, yeah, I had to isolate myself because, ironically enough, as soon as we started, he just woke up, and so it was time to run around and do all kind of craziness. So I'm upstairs right now on the bed, on a nice, comfortable bed. And, you know, as you were talking, I was trying to send you a message right before the show, but I want to get into this real quick. I know you said you do a lot of the talking, but for this one, I had to get into this one. This is, you saw the link from that new black sitcom, Bells, I think it's called.
I haven't heard of that. Yeah, what's that?
I had no clue what it was either. It's something about a restaurant, and I honestly watched a fragment of, I think it's episode 3. I know that's
no, you're right. It's a new sitcom on TV One, and it's basically, you know, it's an African American show, and it was an episode in which the young lady who was a Christian started dating an atheist, and she didn't know he was an atheist. Is that what you're talking about, Alfred?
Exactly. I think when I first saw this, I want to say 2-3 days ago, it was on Reddit, and I hardly ever get on Reddit, but I did manage to see something. From the subreddit, from the main page, is made up of all these subreddits. And if you have an article in the subreddit that's worthy enough, people will upvote it. And it will go on the main page. So I said, okay, that's cool. And I scrolled down, checking out some of them. But I saw one from Black Atheism, which is very rare to see one because it's such a small fraction, even on Reddit. So I click on it and watch this episode, and it's, you hear people talk about watching a train wreck and not being able to look away. This was a prime example of a train wreck. And I had a feeling where the episode was going, but I had high hopes. I'm like, it's 2013. We're trying to get past some of these stereotypes. But of course, in true Christian fashion, this guy was treated as a leper and characterized as the most devious and just, you know, kind of conniving character as you could make a person out to be within probably 10 seconds of the conversation. And it just baffled me. Did the writers even speak to an atheist, or did anyone do any kind of research? Because it's apparent that they didn't. He made a comment when the father was asking him why he denied the existence of God, and he said, oh, I base my morality in my life, you know, on science and my own rationale, which at first doesn't sound too bad, but when you see his character and how he's responding, it's a canned response. And even with saying, they just threw science in there because they knew, well, you know, those atheists folks like science, so we'll just throw that in there. Like, okay, I don't base my life off of science. I enjoy science. I love science. But science does not, you know, tell me to change my son's diaper to take care of him. It has nothing to do with my morality. It is so stereotypical, and it's gotten to the point where on the Free Thought blog, I think his name is, somebody please correct me because I have problems pronouncing his name, Hemet, I believe his name is.
Hemet Mehta. The Friendly Atheist.
Exactly. Hemet Mehta actually screen capped one of my comments on there. I just saw
hey.
That. You screen capped it.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, go Alfred.
And I literally watched the episode, got pissed, and wrote, you know, this little paragraph that just is a scathing message as to how much I truly detest religion, and I hope they show this as a prime example of how religion poisons people, like, because it truly pissed me off. And so now that comment has garnered over, well, last time I checked, it was like 45 like upvotes or likes or whatever it's called on there. But one of my friends on Facebook actually went and wrote a letter, a scathing letter to the writers. And I was like, man, maybe I should do that too. But I might just stick with making a YouTube video because this has gotten a lot of people riled up. And we're probably going to hear about this in the news because there are a lot. There was probably 3 or 4 comments. And, of course, the Christians on there, there's 2 or 3 of them. Oh, the parents were so respectful. They were so nice. And I responded to each and every last one of them. How is telling this man that he can come back and talk to them when he has abandoned his own rationale and logic? How is that respectful? And I have yet to get a response, and I don't think I will. Because if they're to the point where they can't see past their own nose outside their own theology, what hope is there for our society to progress? It's truly a shame. It shows how there's a disconnect between Black community and everyone else. And someone else made a good point in the comments as well. If that had been a Muslim, or it had been a white show, and it had been a Black character, and they had characterized them as that, oh, there would have been blood in the streets. They had cried racism all day long. But it's okay if you discriminate against a common enemy, from what it seems. It still burns me even to this moment. But I want to hear your thoughts on it, Kim, because I know you definitely saw that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I saw it when it was live, you know, when the show was, you know, aired originally. And I sat there and I watched it, and my mouth just dropped. You know, especially at the scene with, first of all, they were just praising the Lord all over the place, you know, and the way that they did it, it was exaggerated and over the top. I have never met a Christian family. I've been around Christians pretty much all my life, and I still have friends that are Christians, but they don't behave that way. So, you know, again, it was written for exaggeration, you know, that part right there. But the way that scene ended, in which she hugged the young man, and, you know, I kind of figured that maybe they were going to be able to resolve their differences and move on and move past that. The next scene was her speaking with her father. So, you know, it was a gap there. There was a disconnect. It was very disjointed. And basically she told her father, you know, he came back to talk to her, and she told her father that she had ended the relationship. And, again, you know, that whole scene, that whole show, could have been a teachable moment in which it showed, you know, non-believers and believers sitting down, breaking bread, and possibly resolving some differences, or at least coming to some type of understanding regarding those differences. And, you know, they missed out. They missed out on an opportunity. And what they did was they promoted the bigotry and the hatred and the intolerance. And, you know, I think I'm going to write a letter too.
Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, I ironically, I say that name. I tell you, that's a habitual reaction. Damn. And, you know, see that I'm no different. How you just said watching a train wreck and not being able to look. Now, you guys have just described the wreck, and now I want to hurry up and put on my shoes with no socks and run outside so I can go look at the wreck, too. Well, you said, what was the name of this show?
Bill, B-E-L-L-E. I'll send you the link.
Okay, yeah, I gotta see the wreck now. I can't help it. I'm a human. Man, jeez. And you know, you said the part about I live my life by science. And really, everybody kind of does. I mean, what is science basically? I mean, science is you form an idea, you test it, you check the results. If the results work, you keep pushing it, and you help other people, and you use this idea, and you run with it. Or it fails, and you try another idea, and you test that. So we're all running on science, but I don't, you know, they use that word science. They bring up this idea of tall, skinny white guys in lab coats running around the Bunsen burner saying, "I found the antidote." And it's like, and that's just not it. And I'm not into that. You know, I don't know what's going on in science. They use a bunch of words I don't know. And I live my life by work, job, work, bills. Very simple system I got going on here. Yeah, not a lot of science going on. Atheist does not mean scientist. Atheist does not mean skeptic. Atheist does not mean humanist. All it is just something you don't do. Just because I don't play tennis does not mean I play golf. Ah, silly, silly, silly presuppositions that have been indoctrinated into these folks, and now it's in a silly show that I can't wait to watch, just so I can be mad at it too. I can't help it. I'm a silly human being like that. Jesus Christ. I want to see it now. I want to see it. Now, let's see here. Now we're going into this this groupthink, this mob mentality. I'll tell you what, folks. Every once in a while, I come across a deist, you know, some sort of person of faith, and that will tell me something along the lines of, you need to read the Bible. And no, I don't feel like it. I've glanced at that thing before, and it's as boring as Rita Rutner is portrayed to be, all right, and she's great. And I'm not going to read your Bible, just like you're not going to read the Koran, and just like the guy with the Koran is not going to pick up a pamphlet on Scientology, and just like the Scientology is not going to pick up the Book of Mormon, and just like the Mormon, you know, you get it. And you know why? Because for the most part, people are not interested in silly nonsense. And I'm just interested in one less source of such nonsense than you are. And doesn't that sound like a familiar talking point? And again, folks, this only happens every once in a while because I'm not one to sit around debating theists day in and day out. It's sporadic, and I usually wrap up these interactions rather quick. Now, I've said before last year that I don't need a Christopher Hitchens book. You know, what for? I'm already what we call an atheist, air quotes. So what do I need a Hitchens, a Dawkins, or a Harris for? You know, unless they have some good cruciferous vegetable recipes, I have no use for their writing. And in my non-humble opinion, their works are only really good for just freeing agnostic theists from religion and nothing more than that. But what I see is people that identify with the labels and groups, atheist, humanist, secularist, anti-theist, and these people who are already without religion, they're toting these books around as though owning them is part of some sort of litmus test to be a true skeptic or whatever group title these folks subscribe to today. The words from these books are noted and quoted by intellectual chest-thumping debate circle alphas, and the more quotes you have memorized, the more likely you are to earn the attention, the adoration, and the admiration of your atheist book-collecting peers. Now, folks, I'm the cynical guy, and my cynical predictions are usually right. As I said, this is a non-humble opinion, but I'll tell you, I wouldn't have guessed in a million sandwiches with extra leaf lettuce that the people who carry these labels and subscribe to these groups, the people who are so aware, so cognizant, and so critical of the socially damaging practices of those on the theistic side of our society, they blindly mimic their behavior and inadvertently practice dogmatically applied tribalism with what I will call the scriptures of atheism. I know, weird, right? Because I'm the same dude that's always ready to remind you that there really is no such thing as atheism. And, I'm one of the many that can't wait to jump up and say that being without a religion is not another religion. But there's tribalism, and that's what I'm always trying to avoid. Sometimes successful, sometimes not, but I try. And what I'm seeing is tribalism with what is being treated by its label-claiming ideological occupants and religiously practiced atheism as a way to form groups and subsequently rival other groups. Example, look at how all these big, bad, manly-ass skeptics began blasting their keyboards as soon as they heard Atheism Plus existed. I mean, this got all the way up to Joe Rogan, people. Even his mushroom-loving Greenpeace ass was like, fuck them, dog. I mean, honestly, realistically, I don't know if my funny high-pitched voice will reach these fellas and get them to check their behavior. And I don't want to control you and stop you from being yourself. But I'd like to get these guys to check themselves, check yourselves, and consider where this behavior could lead in the long term. Remember, this is Black Free Thinkers, and you're in the barbershop. If you're listening live in Blog Talk Radio and you have a question, a comment, or you need to get that neck hair trimmed up, just call in 310-982-4273 to get through. I don't know. Alfred, where do you stand on this? These this group think that's happening. We see it happening.
Yeah, we do. I really do. And as soon as you mentioned Dawkins' book, I had to remember that I actually own a paperback copy of his book, and it's sitting in my garage right now on a shelf right above my my motor oil and whatnot. I was like, I kind of felt, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking of what to say as far as a group think, and it's like, well, you know, having this group think, it's not any one group, it's not any one sect, it's just a human thing. No matter, you know, what you identify or don't identify with, it's going to happen. It really is. If you read the first 10-20 pages, it's Dawkins, it really begins just kind of annihilating this idea of agnosticism. Well, he defines it and he reminisces a lot, and I did actually increase my vocabulary. That's what I honestly started using the book for, was to increase my general vocabulary, because I enjoy doing that. Other than that, I wanted to get away from using non-theist talking points, because I personally don't believe talking points are that productive to the conversation.
That's right.
When I say a talking point, that's just, well, that's just like the theists when they deflect and defer to, well, you just have to have faith. That's a talking point. It doesn't really mean anything. That's something that they're just going to say to try and drive the conversation in the way that they want to go, but it's not going to. It's a closed statement. There's really nothing you can say to counter that. So it depends. If you really want to just be in the group and have the title of, well, yeah, I do own that book, then fine. But I would implore everyone to do what I did and create your own sort of argument against it. I personally do not argue the Bible. I might mention it and reference it just out of pure sarcasm, or if I'm trolling, and I will troll on occasion. And that's just something that I do for fun. But I will reference it. But it's like, okay, here's, you have to put it into perspective. Using the Bible against a Christian is just as effective as using a spray can of Pam against a fire. It's not going to really work. I mean, it's gonna piss off the flame and make it grow stronger, but in the end, it's designed to work in their favor. If you're not going to use it against them, period. And I can't tell you how many times I've had a Christian tell me that I have not read the Bible correctly, and I had to have them explain this, because I thought, what do you mean I'm not reading it right? Well, you have to be a true Christian to understand the word. So I was like, okay, that's fine. So I have to reach spiritual enlightenment level 7 and be able to send telepathic messages to small animals and children. Is that what you're talking about? So I had to bring it to that level, because that's just how ridiculous it sounds. So
right.
When they say stuff like that, that's already informing you that you're not going to win on that point, and I'm not going to play their game. They're going to play mine. If I'm going to reject their religion, they're going to have to convince me that, one, their deity exists and all the concepts around it, including but not limited to a soul, a hell, etc. And that's where we're going to go from there. Once you're there, then you're kind of on a more even playing field, whereas we can poke fun at each other if it's depending on the audience, or we can actually get down to the nitty gritty and discuss some of these topics. But trying to go blow for blow with, you know, the God delusion and the Bible, it's not going to work. It's only that each book is going to work in each favor for its particular section. They're not going to quote the God delusion. I doubt half of them will even read it, much less touch it, and it's going to go the other way around. The only reason I would actually own any of the Bible, the Torah, or the Quran would just be for display purposes, kind of like a hunter has trophies, more or less. I know that's mean, somebody's going to get pissed, but it's the way, you know, you like to collect trophies for what you conquer. I just had a nice mental image there. It's really funny. it's really funny discussing something like that, especially with a lot of atheists. And I want to try and get away from that whole idea that, you know, we all just sit around and agree with each other, because I had an atheist actually imply that. That's really all we do is discuss dogmas and sit and just a bunch of yes men around one another. And I'll be the first to admit to when I went to my first atheist kind of meet and greet, and when I was living in Lafayette, Louisiana, that's what I thought it was going to be about. So, well, you know, what could we possibly, you know, disagree about? We don't believe in God. But, you know, I actually started learning back when I was fledgling atheist. I hadn't understood the definitions of humanism, the definitions of atheism, the definitions of agnostic, deist, and all, so on and so forth. So it's really important to not generalize when it comes to that. And that's probably the issue with, I'm going to go back to bells. That's probably the issue with bells, is that they're generalizing. But we can't expect them to really go into much detail about something that they already detest. So, yeah, that's just my little bit on it.
Yeah, man. I tell you, yeah, with that trolling, I've seen you do it. I remember I jumped in on you, and I was like, "Are you just intellectually slumming it? Like you're down here with the mental peasants?" I was reading the post above yours, and I was like, "Whoa! Either these people are all 12 years old, or their brains are broken, and Alfred is just hanging out with them. What is going on here?" I caught you out there. And then they say you have not read the Bible correctly. Like what? As in, like, you didn't look at the letters and understand that they were words and sentences, and then comprehend the sentences and recognize them as sentences and paragraphs? Like, how did you not read it correctly? Like, what? Did you turn to page 15 and then go to page 3 after page 15? Like, that is intellectually lazy for someone to say you have not read the Bible correctly. Like, they're just trying to get out of the conversation before it gets into that scary area where they feel like their faith is being tested by this evil atheist. Oh, they get so frightened so easily. And I'll tell you, folks, I have a copy of the Bible. It, you know, I didn't spend any money on this thing. I was walking out of a Walgreens, and I saw it by the propane tanks, and I said, wouldn't it be hilarious if I just took this Bible and carried it around? And I do that sometimes. I told you guys before, every once in a while, I'll carry this Bible around the city just to see how people react. And I get treated like I'm some great dude. Like, these people have no idea how sometimes kind of rude and inconsiderate I can be. But just because I have this Bible, it's like, oh, he's a great guy. People are smiling, random thumbs up. Hey, how you doing there, sir? Pull out your chair for you. Just because I'm carrying a magic book. Like, it's so silly. And that's what's happening on the other side. If you, like you said, you got that... Well, that book you have, those atheist scriptures you got in the garage, like if you were toting those around and you just carried it into like some Skepticon meeting or something, they'd be like, oh, how you doing there, sir? All right, you're one of the good fellas. Yeah, they don't know that you probably think they're an idiot. You know, so yeah, they celebrate this stuff too easy. And it has crept over to this end of that particular ideological spectrum of the of theist and non-theist. And I'll tell you, as I said in the last Sunday show, the Abrahamic religion, it was the original bro code. And now let's look at the bros on our side of religious belief. Rape threats. In response to a blog post about not wanting to visit a stranger's hotel room on a foreign continent for a drink, telling Dr. Annalise Fonzer that she isn't worth her PhD because you don't like her post about Michelle Obama taking time off work to raise her children, David Silverman telling Annie Laurie Gaylor that he doesn't understand why these black people are forming their own atheist groups when we already have atheist groups that they can join. You know, it's easy for our species to fall into mob mentality and groupthink especially when we put so much trust and so and stand so strong behind a charismatic leader. Keep in mind, that's what most groups are always looking for, a charismatic leader who can just be the tall, good-looking guy that stands up and stands strong, and we all say, let's follow that guy blindly.
Are you laying the groundwork for Sunday's show? That's what it sounds like. Oh, Sunday show. Racism and Sexism in the Atheist Community, Part 2. And we're going to talk about that, the racism, the sexism. We're going to talk about fat phobia. We're going to talk about transphobia. We're going to talk about jaded people, jaded, bitter, angry people. We're going to talk about all of that. It's horrible.
Yeah, and you guys check that out, those Sunday shows. Whatever time zone you're in, like me, I'm in the Eastern time zone, so that's 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. for me, a two-hour show. And so, yeah, if you're on the West Coast, that's going to correlate over to you. You're in the Midwest, that's going to correlate to you. And, hey, if you work Sundays, or if, hey, if you're a teenager and you're listening to this show right now and your parents drag you off to church on Sunday, but you have an Apple product, you can snag it in iTunes. Look up Black Freethinkers. Freethinkers is one word, and you can snag it from there. All right, and you can also go on blogtalkradio.com. Bang, it's right there in the archives. And below the show, below that screen where it shows the images flashing, you can also right-click, download the MP3, bang, and carry it around with you. Listen to it a few times. You know, look up the words. You know, especially if Rainer calls in, she might use a word you don't know. You know, I got to go back and look up, what the fuck is recalcitrate? Like, I got to do that sometimes.
Recalcitrant.
A what?
I think it's something about like being disagreeing or something. It's tough, man. You got to get your vocabulary up.
Wait, so it's like being a contrarian?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, guys that they just naturally want to have beef. Yeah, I got to look it up again. I looked it up that one time, and I put it in these show notes because I want to use that word in a sentence before the end of the week so I can kind of get that one in my vocabulary, too. It doesn't hurt to have that up, man. And I'll tell you, folks, I might not be strong enough to stop this from happening with our species falling into the groupthink and running behind our charismatic leaders. And, you know, and it could be easy to avoid this if we just remain aware of the fact that our species can do this and will do this, and we just acknowledge it when we see it. And even though I might not be strong enough to stop it from happening, I won't sit silent while Dawkins, Hitchens, and Harris become the new Luke, Matthew, and John. And as we are really just trying to make the small box thinking of religion a thing of the past, let's try not to repeat it before we even reach the future. All right, That's pretty much where I am on that. I sat down and thought about that because I was talking with Kim about that before, and she was like, "Yeah, just try this subject out." And I was like, "This one will be a challenge because I tell you, I'm not the brightest cat. I'm not the most educated person here, you know." And I figured I'd try to dig into this subject, and that I tell you what, folks, I think I got it there with that one. I don't know.
Yeah,
what
you
else
do very
you have?
Well. You're very intelligent. You explain that perfectly because, you know, just doing a comparative analysis, you know, when non-believers start quoting, you know, or recapitulating what Dawkins and Hitchens and Harris says, and it's okay to use them as a point of reference here and there. That's fine. But when everything, you know, as Alfred said earlier, is a talking point, everything you say is a talking point. That's like the, you know, Christians quoting, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus. It's the same thing. Where are your critical thinking skills? Is there any originality in you? What actually do you think? I don't need for you to tell me what Dawkins and Hitchens and all those other people think. I can go and read that. What do you think?
And I'll tell you what, folks. Even though you understand it from the context with which she used it in, do what I'm going to do after the show and look up recapitulate for yourself so that you understand it. That's another one of those, recapitulate. Go ahead and look that one up and make sure you really understand that.
But yeah, it's just it's important for us, you know. Again, we're over here in free thought, and again, it's nothing wrong with having that as, you know, a reference point. And this, you know, and those materials, you know, they help people. Sometimes they help people to understand how they feel, and in some cases, you know, it kind of puts things, it explains some things. Sometimes they answer questions you didn't even know that you had. So, you know, again, there's nothing wrong with reading those books, especially as a reference point. However, you know, I just encourage people to be themselves. Form your own personality. Form your own opinions. Because, again, you know, if you're quoting all of these different people, when I'm talking to you, I want to get to know you as a person. But when you start quoting all of these people, I still don't know who you are, and I don't know where you're coming from. So at this point, I just think that you're playing a game of tennis, trying to see how many times you can knock the ball over, you know, the net. But yet, you know, you're just kind of just falling into form. I don't know where you're coming from, what you're doing. All you're trying to do is get the ball over the net. I'm actually trying to dialogue with you. So it's just interesting.
Yeah, and don't just quote us. Don't just listen to us and then say, ooh, Abrahamic religion was the original bro code, and then just go around saying that every time you meet a religious person. Think, you know, because I came up with that thought by sitting down thinking, and that's what free thinking is. It's when you're stepping outside of the old box, and you're just let your mind run. You know, go ahead, turn off the lights, turn off the television set, and stare off into space and just daydream for a while. Don't even count how long you're daydreaming. Could be 5 minutes, could be 5 hours. Allow yourself to think. Let your mind run without outside sources coming in and tainting your own original thoughts. You know, you are a member of an evolved species. All right, you have a huge brain and a frontal lobe. You are so much smarter than you might think you are. Really, you really are.
Yeah, and someone in the chat room just said, well, certain people in our communities, opinions don't matter, unfortunately. And like I said to this young person in the chat room, and I'll say this out loud, your opinions matter to me. If you notice when you call the show, you know, the Sunday show, even if you have, you know, an opinion that's, you know, the antithesis of what I believe, generally I allow people to give their opinion. And then I respond. You know, even if I don't agree with you, your opinions matter to me, and I want to allow you to give that opinion, unless you're a troll. And again, Sunday's show is a discussion, not a debate. And, you know, for the trolls out there, I am the benevolent dictator. Please understand that. I choose to allow you to speak.
Yeah, I mean, it's at the click of a mouse. There's a little blue button, bang, mute, and you'll hear it on your line, muted. I've heard that before, muted, and you're out of there. Hey, could I dig into this fear of black people talking to each other? Moving into another segment here. This is something that I've always thought was going on, and I've heard older people talk about before when I was a child and an adolescent, and then I see it as an adult because, you know, I'm a news junkie. I like to watch the pundits and the politicians yell at each other, and then, you know, of course you got to go read and actually look at platforms and actually look at bills before you vote. Don't vote just off what they say to the pundits on television. A lot of that stuff is just trumped up, and some of it is just lies and exaggerations. You really got to actually read the bills before you go vote. But I love the theater of it. All right, Rachel Maddow puts on a good show, even though I know that there's a lot that she won't say because she likes her salary. Remember, these people are getting paid, so just, read before you vote, all right? But when I saw when Colin Powell was said he's gonna endorse Obama again for the 2012 joint, and that old guy John Sununu was like, you know, it's just because he's black. Not in those exact words, but you know what they're saying. If you got a person of the same race, just because he's black, they dig him. Now, A lot of this, it comes from what you would call psychological projection, which was first conceptualized by Sigmund Freud. It's a defense mechanism where a person subconsciously denies his or her own negative attributes by ascribing them to the outside world instead. Thus, projection involves imagining or projecting faults onto others. The original idea was the projection, and this would allow for reduced anxiety by allowing the expression of the unwanted, unconscious impulses or desires without letting the conscious mind recognize them. All right, so let me just give an idea of like projectionism, okay? Like me. I want to eat healthy as much as I can, but God damn it, I like cheeseburgers. And I might just see somebody else who looks like me. I'd be like, I bet that bastard wants a cheeseburger too. You know, and I might walk up to him and be like, you want a cheeseburger too, don't you, motherfucker? You want a cheeseburger, huh? When really, it's just that I want a cheeseburger. I want to throw this apple in the garbage and slam a triple bacon cheddar chili cheeseburger down my face. And that's really what I want, but I'm just projecting that onto someone else. That's a simple breakdown of what that is. Now, when you look back into the African slave trade, which I prefer to call it the Christian slave trade once you're on this land, because it was a bunch of Christians, predominantly Protestants, trading slaves throughout America, but predominantly in what we call the South, and I still like to call it the Confederacy because a lot of them, their minds are still very Confederate. And they wouldn't let them, like not only did they force them to speak English, but they weren't allowed to speak the languages of their old tribes if they were originally brought over and they weren't just born here. They weren't allowed to speak that. And you know that's because I mean, you're doing something horrible to them, and you know it, because it's not like how the slave trade was in Africa. We know, and people always want to throw that at you. They're like, they were already slaves over there. It was not the same kind of deal. It was typically to pay off a debt, or you were a prisoner of war, and you would probably go free sometime before you died. You wouldn't be born, live, and die in this captivity. All right? Not like it was in the Christian slave trade on American soil. So it definitely was not the same slave trade. Don't let someone lie to you and say it was.
With the American slave trade, it started out with indentured servitude, and then it moved over to race. It didn't even start out that way here.
Those old Anglos and those British Protestants, yeah, they would have you're just the poor fucking little maid, or you're the poor little butler, and you live in the bottom of the house. You get up, you go do your chores, and then you go back in the bottom of the house and you live in your bunk, you know, and you're an indentured servant. But it wasn't like the beating, raping, and intentionally breeding you into just the NFL looking slaves. That happened when that Christian on African slave trade really started to happen there, and the reason why they don't want them talking to each other in that original tongue that they had from the old continent is because they don't want you plotting against them, because they know they're doing something terrible to you, and they're projecting onto you that they think you're going to do something terrible back to them. And then I would take it into a time that I might understand more. You know, I was born in 1983, and I'm a 90s hip-hop head. And what I saw a lot in 90s hip-hop, which a lot of people would just say it was just a bunch of, oh, they're just cursing, and they're just a bunch of gangster rapping. There are a lot of stories in that, too. And there was a lot of communication in that. Like a guy from California named O'Shea Jackson, he could rap about fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad because I'm brown. And then a guy in New York could hear that and say, oh, holy shit, they got problems with the police out there too? And then he could go get in the studio and jump on the microphone and talk about his problems with the NYPD, just like O'Shea is talking about his problems with the LAPD. And now that conversation is happening, and that was not liked. Now, it was sad that you had older black people against this, mostly because they just didn't like the new music. That's like me. I don't like Nicki Minaj because I just don't like the new music. And they were against this conversation happening because that they could be plotting against you. And they just it relinquishes control. and they got to have that control over you so they can't have you talking like that. And it comes up, I see things like when they had Ebonics. Some of you might be younger and you don't know when they tried to come up with Ebonics. That was really just them trying to understand the vernacular because they don't want you speaking a language you don't, that they don't understand, just like it was in, during the Christian slave trade. You cannot speak a language we don't understand. We need to know what you're saying because we don't trust you because we know that you can't trust us. And then that led... Yep.
I was just thinking about this today, and you just reminded me. I took my son outside and let him run around and chase him down the hill. Anyway, when you mentioned Ebonics, that reminded me of an article, or actually a video someone showed me, whereas they were trying to, he showed, I think he was a society, somebody please feel free to correct me, but it's an organization here in America that, you know, documents languages and studies them and whatnot. And he's a black guy, and he tries to teach teachers how to deal with people outside their own race, their own ethnicity, outside their own community. And one thing that he pointed out is that there's nothing to disqualify a system of speech. There's nothing to disqualify that as a sub-language. There's no such thing as a sub-language. And right as you were mentioning that people weren't trying to the whole Ebonic thing is because that's actually a way to indirectly what's a good way to say this? It's pretty much a way to say, you know, fuck you to the community. That's the best way I could describe it right now. I'm having a brain fart. If you want to humiliate and denigrate, if you want to denigrate an entire people, an entire culture, an entire community, you can attack them indirectly by doing it through their language, through their music, through their culture. You don't have to directly attack them. You canonize it, exactly. So that's something that a lot of people don't realize, that when people say Ebonics now, oh, well, that ghetto language, that trash language, people fail to realize history. The American that we speak now, this American language, is a bastardized version of English that came from England. They say the same thing about our language. So there's a lot of ignorance being thrown around that people really catch on to and indirectly contribute to their own downfall. Now, I personally don't use a lot of Ebonics, but it depends on my audience. When I'm around my family, I'll use more Ebonics. I use more colloquialisms. That's another word for y'all, colloquialism, that my family is more familiar with. I'm not going to use a word like colloquialism around them because I know that they cannot grasp that because that's not a word that they'll use on a daily basis. So that, I just want to throw that in there, man. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I had to throw that out there for the show.
Oh yeah, and this one, you hear me stumbling through this particular subject because I did not write this monologue down like I did the original one, like that first segment. I wrote that all down so I could spit it out smooth. This one is kind of more sort of off the head here. It's just a thing that I've been thinking about, and I'm like, geez, I finally have a venue to spit about it. And I hear the technology is trying to deceive you a little bit. It's chopping up at your. I think you're on a Skype connection. Oh, you're on Skype.
Yeah, I'm on Skype right now.
Yeah, it was cutting up a little bit there. With the dialogue and you know with curse words, like sometimes I say darn it, sometimes I say damn it, sometimes I say what the frickin' frack, and sometimes I say ah fucking fuck this shit. You know, I you never know what I'm gonna say next. I'm getting old and maybe senility is kicking in a bit early. And then but the other thing, yeah, with the hip hop, that was a conversation that was going on, and it went on from 1988 to really to like 1999, and then really a lot more people caught on with the vernacular, and nothing that was being said was really secret. You start getting things like you didn't have Urban Dictionary up yet, but you really could, and there wasn't much Google, but you could go on Yahoo and you could really look up a lot of these vernacular terms, and there really was no more secrets as far as that dialogue goes. Like, I can always just, I can listen to a Wu-Tang record, and I'm like, I don't know what Ghostface Killah is talking about, but I can go online and be like, oh, that's the Jakes is this, and the Ice Down is that, and the Flamed Up is this and that, and I can find out what all these terms mean, and then I understand the verse. And you had a guy like Big L, Lamont Coleman. That was my first episode of Rhymecast, was about him. He actually had a track called Ebonics where he broke it down real nice. Real nice. I recommend you go on the YouTubes or something and check out Big L Ebonics. Very nice track. And but then that went all the way up. And let's go ahead, and I'm going to go into this news story where I saw this, where I saw that it was current, that there's still that fear all the way today of the black people talking to each other. And it says, at the height of the election, that has been characterized as among the most racially polarizing in years, top Mitt Romney surrogate John Sununu on Thursday suggested that Colin Powell, the former Secretary of State under George W. Bush, endorsed President Obama in part due to race. Sununu, the former Republican governor of New Hampshire and co-chair of the Mitt Romney campaign, downplayed the significance of the endorsement to CNN's Piers Morgan and suggested Powell, a Republican who also endorsed Mr. Obama in 2008, had a slightly different reason for doing so than other prominent politicians. When you take a look at, now we're quoting off of Sununu here, when you take a look at Colin Powell, you have to look at whether that's an endorsement based on issues or he's got a slightly different reason for endorsing President Obama, he said. I think when you have somebody of your own race that you're proud of being President of the United States, I applaud Colin for standing with him. Jesus Christ, with the projecting, with the projectionism, which I think actually isn't a real word, projectionism. I don't think that's a real word there. But, yeah, just projecting there. And it brings me to think about a question that you always heard, especially with Obama's election and reelection, that they're always just like, ah, the black people only voted for him because he's black. Like, there's another guy on Blog Talk Radio. He has now dubbed black people 98%ers because he's like 98% of them went and voted for Barry. But there's never the flip side to that question. What about all the white people that voted against him because he's not white? Why isn't that question being asked? You know, that's always been a funky one to me. And I acknowledge and I recognize the fact that I'm in a system where I can't vote Green Party because they just don't stand a chance, and I'm in a swing state, so I can't vote Green Party just out of spite, because I really, obviously, I don't like the Republicans, because part of their narrative is just to assume that I'm on welfare when I've never touched a food stamp or one of these food stamp credit cards they have these days. But they just put that in their narrative, and that's just fucking insulting me. And I'm not really into the Democrats because they're just as bought off as the pugs are. I'd really want to go Green Party because I'm one of those Captain Planet geeks from the 90s, but I can't. So I'm kind of stuck with just voting Democrat, and he was the Democratic candidate, so that's who I rolled with. And I actually like Alan Grayson. You don't like Alan Grayson? You can go fornicate yourself with a wooden cooking spoon. He's awesome. And that's the way I just have to vote. But what about all the other people who were just like, I'm not voting for a darkie? Like, nobody's talking about them. Nobody wants to mention them. They just want to project onto the people that we now call black, as I am one of them, and just say they're doing it, when actually you're doing it. Psychological projecting and a fear of black people talking to each other. Again, it's black free thinkers. You're in the barbershop. If you're listening and you want to read me the Riot Act, and, you know, if you're angry, if you got an idea, something you want to bring up, that's 310-982-4273 to get through. Let's move down a little bit here and go into the Kim, are we on a 90-minute show here?
Hey, if you want to do 90, if you want to do 120, it's up to you.
Okay, yeah, I didn't even consider which one we were doing. I think I think last week we did a 90. Yeah, I didn't know what we were on. All right, let's go into some whole other bullshit. Alfred, could you hit him with that with that video game talk we talked about earlier?
Well, yeah. Can y'all hear me a little bit better now, actually? I forgot to ask that.
Yeah, there's no breaks.
Okay, yeah, I had my headphones in, that's probably what was doing it. But, yeah, when I was, this is a conversation that many, many gamers have, and especially for some of the younger ones, that if you really don't play video games, it might alienate you just a little bit, but you can find something appreciative in it. What's a good example? For those who do enjoy the gaming world, you enjoy a good story, you enjoy a good character, just like any piece of media, you want to connect, you want to feel some sort of a connection with the protagonist, you want to be able to immerse yourself in it. Part of that immersion, people feel that the graphic aspect has to be top-notch, has to be the most realistic. So you see these companies competing constantly for the most realistic graphics. They're going to tout their hardware performance, they're going to tout processor speeds and whatnot. But what ends up lacking is that the story, the protagonist is not believable, the supporting characters don't support, there's no character development, all you know is you have a male, maybe a female, and they're doing something because you're making them do it. Now, a good example of a good game that has really, really basic graphics is Minecraft. And for those of you who don't know what Minecraft is, it is what you refer to as a sandbox game. You do what you want. You can build a dojo out of blocks. Do it. It is an artistic expression game. This game is a 3D game, but it looks like Super Mario. It's very basic. Everything is built with polygons. It's literally just blocks. Your man, your character, or a female, what have you, is almost like a block stick figure, if you will. And this person lives in a world where everything is made of blocks. Literally, everything, even the ground. When you can dig in the ground and everything is blocks. You dig underground to find gold, you dig underground to fight monsters, all kind of craziness. But this is one game that has been the most downloaded on Xbox. I think it still holds that title. Definitely in 2012, it was the most downloaded game for Xbox. And what people really loved about it is that they could do what they wanted. If you wanted to build the Eiffel Tower, you could build both Eiffel Towers. I meant Statue of Liberty, I'm sorry. If you wanted to build the one in America and the one in France, you could build both. If you wanted to reconstruct the Twin Towers, you could do that. It is your imagination. It is your freedom of expression that really garnered the sales for it. And the gaming industry has kind of fallen off as far as content and has gone straight toward what they feel people want, which most of the time is just multiplayer and good graphics. You don't even have to have a story. As long as you get a gun and shoot somebody, Halo, it's supposed to be a good game. So it's a lack of creativity, and that kind of move into a video a buddy of mine on YouTube made, where he had a hour and a half long discussion on how the creativity in America is slowly fading, and that's just one of the many telltale signs, is that you have these companies who are just, their target market are, I want to say, the younger generation, 21 and under, that just want something nice to look at when they buy it. They want to have a good feeling as, oh, I got the latest and greatest, and it looks the latest and greatest, but they have no idea of substance. How can you enjoy a good book now when you have that kind of mindset, because you don't have pictures in it? So it really shows the decline and just the creative juices in our society. So I'm going to hand it back over to Ali, because that's my little rant on that. And feel free to look up Minecraft and the whole idea behind it, because it's not really just a game. It is an expression of your imagination and your creativity.
Yeah, see, and the simplicity, like, you can appreciate that simplicity as long as it's fun, because what I notice about these games, you know, and I picked up my first joystick in 1988 to play Super Mario Bros. Duck Hunt Contra, and the main thing is timing, hand and eye coordination. You just want to push the button at the right moment so that you can achieve the result and release those endorphins in your brain and activate your reward system when you get the points on the board, when you shoot the duck, when you stomp on the turtle, when you stomp on the little mushroom guy, when you shoot the big alien in Contra, you know, when you do the code right and you get 30 men. It's the timing that is really fun. Yeah, so yeah, I can appreciate that. That's like even with the Grand Theft Autos. If you look at Grand Theft Auto's fun as all hell, but actually take a look at it. It's not that graphically inclined. Grand Theft Auto's very simple looking, and it is quite, what'd you say, those polygons? Those blocks? Yeah, yes. those polygons? Yeah, those polygons, they look very simple. But damn it, if you're not having a good time, it's a fun ass game, and so you appreciate that simplicity and those basics as long as you're just having fun and activating your internal reward system. And I would segue that into with what Lil Wayne said on a 2005 track called Shooter, where he was talking about how Southern rappers get a bad rap, typically because of the Shorty Lows and a lot of those whack dudes, the Yin Yang Twins and what have you. And he said, if this is Southern, face it. If we too simple, then y'all don't get the basics. And that's kind of, that really works in with those video games. If it's too simple, then you really just don't get the basics. Let's talk hip hop for a second here, because there's a situation going on with Wayne and an Emmett Till line he said, and ironically, I guess it really hit the mixtape circuit during Black History Month, and it was just like a totally off and completely retarded. And I'll tell you what, folks, Wayne to me actually used to be a really dope MC, a well above average MC, really an A-plus MC on the microphone. From 1996 to 2006, Wayne was nice. He was pretty much a leader of the new school. He was at the forefront. He was really spitting. At 2007, auto-tune happened, and not just Wayne, a lot of MCs just really got lazy. And it just really became about, you know, just let's get the hook, get the beat, and, you know, see how many MP3s we can sell in iTunes of this record. It got very lazy. So me, myself, I stopped playing his records. It was very simple for me. But I know a lot of people and are generally dumbed down. Generally dumbed down society, they kept playing the records, and a lot of people just like the punchlines. But I'll tell you what I like about MC. First thing that I like about an MC is the rhyme, particularly a multi-syllable rhyme. I love a multi-syllable rhyme to the core. I really dig it. And then there's delivery. All right, to quote evidence of dilated pupils, MCs without a voice should write a book. All right, if you can't deliver your nice rhyme, get off the microphone. All right, and then people tend to equate MC, rapper, hip-hop, and call it all the same thing. Incorrect, people. All right, rapper, that comes from the word rap. Rap is conversation. That's dialogue. Look at one of those old videos of, like, a kid that's going down the wrong path in the school, and his football coach pulls him aside. Hey, let me rap with you, Timmy. I think you're hanging with the wrong crowd. All right, rap, that's dialogue. That's conversation. MC, that's master of ceremonies. That comes from when a show used to be about the DJ, and the MC would introduce the DJ as the master of ceremonies. And then we also add in microphone controller, and then KRS-One, the Blastmaster from the Bronx, he taught us that the MC moves the crowd. All right, so let's differentiate these things. Then there's hip-hop. Hip-hop is elemented. All right, you have your beatbox, your DJ, your MC, your graph artist, and your B-boy. That's the five elements of hip-hop. Don't let people tell you it's four because they're leaving out the beatbox. beatbox, very relevant part of hip-hop. Let's not forget Buffy of the Fat Boys or Dougie Fresh, great beatboxers, all right? Look up Dougie Fresh beatboxing with a harmonica. It's ridiculous, all right? He's nice on that beatbox.
You have a caller. We have a caller that wants to talk about hip-hop. We have Dick on the line. Are you there, Dick?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd just like to bring up one thing. Lil Wayne, from 96 until about 2005, like you said, was probably one of the greatest MCs, I think, in his time. But I just want to say that he dropped off, and he's just a huge fucking nigger, and I hate him, and he sucks a lot of cock.
Strong words. Strong words.
Yes.
Strong opinion.
Uh-huh.
And
Before I go on,
I'll go ahead. I don't want to showcase myself too much, but this is just an example. This is one of my own old writings. Just to show the type of multi-syllable rhyme that I myself particularly appreciate and really enjoy. I said, this is my magnum opus, and gladly I'm showing them growth. The passion we've chosen is drastically chosen, and show the rapping leaves hoping to happen, but homie, we're broke, because half of these poses and rappers are slowing our growth. The path could be open, but no, the hateful sparrow on the straight and narrow has restructured the road. And see, and now I'm delivering a multi-syllabled rhyme there, all right? That's what I'm doing. Now, with Lil Wayne, he really did get very whack. I don't know about the nigger part, but all right. Yeah, sure. You know what? Free thought. That's you're free to think that. Yeah, free thought, free speech. I can dig it. And the Emmett Till line, I see the way people are reacting is really not productive, because, you know, just like with the people that we call atheists, just a lot of people in small circles that already agree with each other. You really want to get to the people who are actually still fans of Wayne for some reason. And don't try to tell them Wayne is whack, all right? Because obviously they like autotune, they like punchlines, they like the beats. They're going to keep listening to it. But you have an opportunity to actually educate them on Emmett Till and maybe add in some other black people from black history that you might not know about in some stories. And you can actually get that if you look in the archives of this particular show. Kim laid out hordes of black inventors that I seriously doubt that many people have ever heard of. But you probably heard of George Washington Carver making peanut butter. All right, I'm always going to say that. Like, you got one person that made a caller ID and one that made peanut butter, and which one are you always hearing about? So you have an opportunity to really educate and share useful information, but instead we sit in these circles mad and talking about how you want Wayne to change. Wayne's not going to change. He's been in a bubble since 1997. He has his own very simplistic mentality that is not going to change just because some other people are mad at him. But you can get in contact with the actual fans of him and just tell them about Emmett Till. You know, and don't come at them angry. You're not going to get young people to listen to you if you're yelling at them. All right? Calm down, count to 10, drink a Frappuccino, and talk to them. And explain to him what happened, what really happened with the Emmett Till situation. False accusation. They beat him horrifically to try to cause a closed casket. And Emmett Till's mother said, "Nah, we're going to do an open casket and show what type of animals these people really are to do this to my son." All right, so share the information. That's the way to do it. Like, I'm not even saying this as like a suggestion. All right, I'm saying do it this way. All right, I'm not even going to be humble about this one. Don't sit there and try to think that you can change the way Wayne is going to rhyme. He's not going to change it. It's paying his bills. All right, now let's go into overrated, underrated. Award shows are overrated. I don't like them. They're silly. Underrated, being an adult watching a cartoon instead of an award show, where I can hear punchlines like he's a snooze juicer. Overrated, what social networking is generally used for. And underrated, what social networking could be used for. All right, and overrated, having a cell phone bill in a city full of Wi-Fi where I can just use an iPod Touch. And underrated, having a house phone for just $5 more on my cable bill, and I can call in and do these shows. Underrated, using Skype. Overrated, using Skype. And this is one from a philosophical friend that I met in the social networking world. Everything loved is overrated. Everything else is underrated, except for the rating itself, which is always indifferent. Now, Alfred, did you get any for this week? Any overrated, underrated?
I'm going to definitely say overrated bells. That's at the top of my list. It's going to stay there for a while, too. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, we have a caller. We have a caller from we have another caller, and this is from area code 302. I think this is Jake. You had something to tell us, Jake?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that you guys are big, fat, cocksucking niggers, and I hate.
There you go.
I love you, too.
Right.
We'll put Jake. That is awkward. Is that really what you do with your existence?
Well, yeah.
Really, I mean, you represent several billion years of evolution, young man, and this is what you're going to do with it? You realize that you have the option to self-euthanize. Like, you could totally do that. If, as a member of this species, this is what you're going to do with your existence.
Oh, but that's okay. You know, see, Jake just graduated from high school in 2010 from Frankfort, Delaware. And let's see here. What else do we know about Jake?
Oh, look, if you actually take a look at some of his pictures, some of his buddies are in the Army. That's very interesting. I'll have to give him a call.
Right. Should be interesting. But thank you for calling, Jake. We appreciate it.
It's so funny, though. I mean, I'll go ahead and let him call in. If he wants, I want to hear him rant and name to see why. If he gets a kick out of it, I can appreciate a good troll. But at the end of the day, I always get the last laugh because it's guys like this who will never, ever, ever in his life say anything like that to any of us in person, ever in his life.
Oh, yeah. But on another note, let's move on. So, yeah, talking about the hip-hop, you know, the newer hip-hop today. You know, I'm old school hip hop, so it takes a little bit for me to kind of get into the music that we have around to this date. But hey, guys, you know, maybe one day I'll have you all send me some links to some people that I may like today. But I have a hard time understanding today's hip hop. But I'll give them credit. But that Lil Wayne, what he said about Emmett Till, it's apparent he didn't, you know. He doesn't know the history, and there are just some things you just don't do.
Yeah, and that's definitely a content issue. And with me, I think content, as far as like the things that I really like I said before, multi-syllable rhyme, that comes first, delivery, that comes next, and then I put content. You know, because what I love the art of the rhyme. Like, how well can you spit your rhyme? But I do understand it, like appreciating the content. And I like me, I've never been influenced by them. Like, if I was influenced by the stuff I listen to, you know, my favorite MC talks about cannibalism. So I'd be eating people if I was influenced by what I listened to. And that's my favorite MC from 1991 to now. That's Brother Lynch Hung. You know, he talks about straight up eating people. And I don't copy what he does. But at the same time, he rhymes real nice. He picks out proper beats and he delivers it extra well, very well. And I think one of the newer artists that really is nice is a dude named Young Melee out of California. And he actually did the voice for the character on Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. He did the voice for CJ. So he actually made a lot more money off of a video game than he did off of his raps. But then I can appreciate that more because that means he's not going to do corny raps to try to make a bunch of money off of that because he already got his royalties off that video game. So he'll just focus on spitting nice raps, you know. And I love it. I love Young Melee. I recommend check him out. Alfred, you got any MCs you would recommend?
As of late, I've honestly been listening to Mortal Technique. A buddy of mine really digs his music. I think, actually, Y-Jarrell was the one who introduced me to him. I had known about him, but I never really took the time. Back when I was listening to Lil Wayne, when he was rapping about some fairly intelligent stuff, I started to notice the content of the lyrics was just severely diminishing over the years. And I started talking to YGL about, you know, some of these social issues, and he said, well, you know what? Instead of Lil Wayne, you would really enjoy Mortal Technique. You know, he's more along the line, but what you don't, what you really might not kind of grasp a hold of is his whole conspiracy theory. And that's, he's really big on conspiracy theories, and that's where he was right. That's where my disconnect begins with him, but his message and his fact-finding, and I really do enjoy that. So he would have to be up there at the top for me.
And you know what? What I would recommend directly to you, Kim, is Sluggo of Atmosphere. And two particular tracks I'd say check out. The Woman with the Tattooed Hands and If I Was Santa Claus. I'd recommend those, yeah, directly to you. Yeah, dope tracks. He's a MC out of Minnesota, of all places, and he's a very nice MC. And The Woman with the Tattooed Hands, it's essentially about a man who got his ego checked by a woman that he was trying to have a sexual encounter with. And then what she did, she masturbated in front of him, and he saw that she was having such a good time without him. Like, he's talking about how the tattoos on her hands danced off of, got off of her hands, and you know, they helped her along the way. And he just got up and left the room, said, "I'm irrelevant." And but it's very nice the way he laid that out. And If I Was Santa Claus, damn good philosophical record. Like, it tinkers on altruism, but he kind of he plays off to the left of it. Very good record. I recommend those two right there. You'll probably find them on the YouTubes, the YouTube.com. And let me get into the before we end it out here, the Pancake Religions, because you know, the show before this one that tinkered in the same area with the groupthink and the mob mentality. If we had religions on pancakes, then you'd have people that like blueberries beefing with people that like chocolate chips, and they wouldn't want people who like butterscotch pancakes to have any rights in their country. People who like butterscotch pancakes can't marry people that like plain pancakes. And I'd hate to be a contrarian, but I don't like pancakes at all. Just like I'm atheist, I'm a pancake. I feel like cake is already awesome, and don't try to, you know, if you want to have cake for breakfast, have cake for breakfast. Don't try to fry it up in a pan and make it some different kind of cake. Just eat the regular cake. Don't go messing with cake. Cake is already awesome. I feel like pancakes are an insult to cake. That's where I am on pancake religion. So that's just and that is yet another religion that I am atheist to. Yeah, that's I don't know, Alfred. You got anything on pancake religion? I don't know. What pancake religion would you join?
I would definitely join the blueberry pancake religion, because obviously the god of the pancake religion would be far superior to all the other pancake gods.
I would fly a building into you. I would fly a plane into your stove. I would on 9/12. Yeah, because I don't like your pancakes, sir. Maybe some waffles. You know what? I'm slamming waffles all over your kitchen. And you know what? And then you're gonna pass a National Defensive Authorization Act, and then nobody can have any French toast because I came through with the waffles. And that's essentially how it happens, folks. That's how it happens. And that's how groupthink and mob mentality happens. We can't wait to beef with each other because we all have our own crew. So let's stop doing that. All right, like I said before, we are trying to make that small thinking a thing of the past, but let's try not to repeat it before we even reach the future.
We have Cuffy called in. Are you there, Cuff?
Yep, I'm here.
Yo! Oh my good. Yeah, now this brother right here. This is the one we do. We do RuPaul's Drag Race. Yeah,
turn your radio down in the background.
Oh wait, let me pause that back there.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm getting the feedback from listening to it on my laptop.
Kill that volume, kill that volume. Yeah, you're on the telephone.
Alrighty. Well,
Yeah, what's up?
I was trying to get in earlier on the video game talk because I'm a big time video game gamer, and I tried to get in then, but the topic switched pretty quickly because I was going to talk about it myself. It's like I could see how much it's declined. Being a classic gamer myself, I bought an Xbox 360 like probably a couple of months ago, and I have an Xbox 360 and a PlayStation 3, and I haven't touched either one of them in a long time. I tend to be very much into the RPGs and stuff like that, something with a storyline that has some kind of history or something to back it, but everything's so diluted. Like, everything that I've tried to play just really, really sucks. I think they've gotten to a place where they spend so much time trying to make everything look so pretty, like you guys were saying, that there's nothing in the storyline. I mean, because I'm one of those guys that in an RPG, I seriously go around town and I'm talking to all the people there. I'm trying to get the history and the background and all that.
See, you went beyond my knowledge. Like, my knowledge of video games really stopped at Halo and Grand Theft Auto. Like, I still have the 2001 Xbox in the garage, and I don't just have it in the garage like it's there for storage. That's where I go to play those games up to today. Like, I might go in there and play Halo this weekend as if it was new, because I just love it that much. I like shooting elites in the face. It's awesome.
See, I'm a Final Fantasy guy. I like your magic and all that other crap, you know. So, but there hasn't been a good one of those in a while. Every time I buy one, I'm very, very disappointed. I mean, the closest thing that I got recently was Mass Effect. And if there's any other gamers in the room that know anything about Mass Effect, it was a good game until they decided to give it a horrible ending with the third installment.
Oh, please don't remind me. And then they tried to make up for it by giving you an alternate ending, which was like a combination of the first two bad ones, but with a green tint.
Exactly. I hated it. I hated it. And I don't know. It's funny because I was speaking with a friend of mine the other day that brought up this point. They were asking, are we so starved for a lot of things? Are we so starved for entertainment and even cultural acceptance or relevance that we'll accept anything? Because that's what it's starting to look like when it comes to music, when it comes to video games, when it comes to most things, even representation on I guess you could say, mainstream shows or media, things of that nature. We're so starved for representation that we just accept anything. We'll take any kind of bullcrap game, any type of music. Somebody can literally get on a track and have a Tourette's attack to a beat, and that's fine.
I'll tell you why. You know, I don't just dislike Nicki Minaj or whatever the hell she is. Not just because I'm old and I don't dig the new music, but I understand what she's doing with her style, and I don't appreciate it because Jadakiss already exists. Styles P already exists. There's already a Rappin' Ron and an Ant Diddly Dog. She is biting a very specific style of rhyming to where you can enhance your punchline and make it sound like your punchline is iller than it really is. And what you're doing is, now, and I don't know if everybody understands bars, All right, bars in hip-hop, not like bars in classical music, not like bars in whatever type of music people are dancing to when they're doing ballet. Bars in hip-hop, very fast and typically in eighths within the beat. And for and if you got a really extravagant producer, your bars might fit into 16s, but typically in twos and fours. And what Nicki Minaj does is she makes her first bar very short and then drags out that second bar so that she can make a really long sentence to drag out that obvious punchline that you see coming.
Or
and Jada Kiss. And I'm not impressed with it. Like, Jadakiss already mastered that in, like, 1997. Styles P enhanced it by 2003. And now you're going to come along in 2013 and try to impress me with that? I am not impressed. Like, that's weak. Rappin' Ron and Aunt Diddly Dog were doing that in 1995, in 1994. And you're going to do that now? Not impressing me. That's like if somebody wrote Genesis just now today and said there was a talking snake today. I'd be like, fuck your talking snake. It sucks. All right? And this is my dude that we call we call him Cuffy on here, but this is my dude Raymond. And do you want to tell him about your side job?
Oh, okay, yeah. I do drag or whatever. I'm a starting out drag queen or whatever. So my drag name is Annihilation, but it's spelled a little bit differently because those names tend to be that way or whatever. And as he mentioned, we do a webcast reviewing episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race, and things of that nature or whatever. And we do it every Tuesday. We're getting it to that place anyway, to where it's done every Tuesday or whatever. But anyone that watches the show or anything of that nature or is in any way interested in knowing anything else about it should definitely check it out. There's a lot to learn from it because even when I got interested in it myself, I guess you could say 2 years ago, I saw that there was a lot more to it than what I thought. There's a grand theatrical aspect to it. Me, traditionally being an actor, that's where I started out. I do a lot of stuff here in Houston. But when I started to get into that, I started to observe that there was a lot more theatrics into it. There's a lot more done. If done correctly, it's a really awesome art form.
Yeah, see, and I tell you, just like that there, see, he talks about it so intelligently, and he's so intellectual about it. He has the knowledge. He knows what he's saying. And then I come on, and I'm just pure belligerent. I'm like, ah, that sucked ass. Did a terrible job. Thumbs down. It's a great I want to use the word dichotomy here, and I don't think I should be using that word. Fuck it. It's a great dichotomy we got there with like he literally, ironically, he plays the straight man, and I play the insane bastard that kind of knows what I'm talking about, but not really. Yeah, I'm that outside voice that just has a loud, belligerent opinion about what's going on right now. And he does a great job. Annihilation has the knowledge. And the name of the show is Queen's English Podcast. And you can check out Queen's English Podcast on the Twitter. And don't forget that Alfred that you heard talking here, very smart brother here, and that YouTube page is Drag Knot, even though it looks like it's spelled like Drag Knocked. That's Drag Knot Silvis. Check out that YouTube page. Ridiculously smart. And if you don't know much about piety, he breaks it down to where even somebody from a cow town like me can get it. And we're still figuring this out with the barbershop show. I think maybe we can cut it down to doing this show for like just an hour. Like, I thought it'd be easy to do a 2-hour show. I was very arrogant going into this. Like, what? I can cover 2 hours every 2 weeks. I think we could do this show in an hour, because I did have a lot of uhs and ums and buts and I don't knows and maybes and stumbles. This show could be a 60-minute show right here, but I enjoy what we're doing. And then I got another, I have an overrated, underrated thread open right now, and Nakomi just put in for overrated, underrated, big butts, bad cunts, and cultural fronts are overrated. Short hair is a dare, and the freedom to go bare, I find rare, underrated.
Well,
I like it. Very hardcore. You guys want to wrap it up here? Alfred, do you want to add anything?
I don't know. I think I'm going to call Nakomi out. I think Graydon said something, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm going to use that."
Yeah, I'm not even in the chat room because I was afraid that if I load all that flash, it'll make my computer start crashing while I'm trying to look at my notes. Yeah, I think we got a good one here, and thank you for the venue, Kim. Yeah, it's a place where I can run my mouth and spit my monologues and try to figure this thing out. You guys, you're hearing a lot of me just kind of thinking off the cuff, off the head, and I'm just getting ready to go into 3 decades of existence, and I'm just trying to build a philosophy to function around. And if you got some ideas, call in. Help me out. Help me grow. I come from the foster care system. Nobody raised me. I'm just figuring life out as I go along. I trip. I stumble. I get the fuck back up.
Yeah, there you go. And on that note, we're out. You all have a good evening. Talk to you Sunday. Racism and Sexism and Atheist Community, Part 2. And we're going to talk about it all. Homophobia, fat phobia. All of that, you know. And I'd like to give a special shout out and thank you to Jake, Till, Abby, and Diana. We said hello and good night.
All righty.
See you, folks.
Where we walk by sight with a bright flashlight to illuminate night. Free thought, we don't walk by faith in the lost mind state because it's not quite safe. We don't recruit, we're not peers from a church. So don't be spooked, we're not here to convert. The only truth is not pulled from a text. Show me proof that's not good after death. This is the challenge to think for yourself. Bring it out of the bottle and speak what you felt. 310-982-4273 to get through. A venue for community and this is the zone. If you'd like to speak with Kim, then pick up the phone. 310-982-4273 to get through. The next tree branch is Rainer and it's best you listen to. Reason, science, and skepticism. It's loaded with straight facts, inspiring and dope. She can make Bill Nye retire his lab coat. Humans are hilarious, and every other Friday, I'd like to hear commentary on culture, people. So I hit up Super Mario and bring in Emmeline to discuss why we're capable of ultra evil. It's normal for my brain to have a two-way street, but if there's collisions, well, then you got to just mention it. And don't be afraid of where the truth may lead. Ignoring your position of cognitive dissonance. When Father Teresa preaches, it's hard to stop. So Kim paired me up with Alfred in the barbershop. I have extended family in all these places now as the free thought tree pollinates around. Yeah. This is the challenge to think for yourself. Break it out of the bottle and speak what you felt. 310-982-4273 to get through. A venue for community and this is the zone. If you'd like to speak with Kim, then pick up the phone. 310-982